Hi, and welcome to our podcast. Today we are going to look at the third Friday in Advent for 2018. Yes, it's already December 21st, so close to Christmas, less than 5 days, and we'll be past Christmas again. Isn't that exciting? Actually, 4 days, here it's Christmas. Hope you got all your presents bought and thought of all your loved ones and truly have everything together for the upcoming holiday season that we are currently experiencing, because we'll have Christmas and then 1 week later, New Year's. Oh my, this year has passed really quickly. In some cases, thank God. In other cases, well, okay. We'll leave it there because some of us didn't have that great of a year. It was good, but it wasn't great. But it's getting better because that's the way God works, slowly getting better as time goes on. But you'll understand as we go on. Today we will be looking at the readings for the Mass, which are found in any Missal, and also the second reading from the Office of Readings to kind of help us really get an understanding of what it is that the Church wants us to understand about these events. As we've kind of seen as the days have gotten closer to Christmas, we've turned our attention more to the Nativity event and really understanding how that impacts our salvation versus any other time in which we were looking at scriptures. Pretty much what we're looking at today is a first reading from the Song of Songs, that is Solomon's. Hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping across the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Here he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattices. My lover speaks. He says to me, arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come. For see, the winter is past, the rains are gone and over. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of pruning the vines has come, and the song of the dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines in the bloom give forth fragrance. Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret recesses of the cliff, let me see you, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and you are lovely. The word of the Lord. Exalt you just in the Lord, sing to him a new song. Exalt you just in the Lord, sing to him a new song. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With the 10-string lyre chant his praises. Sing to him a new song, pluck the strings skillfully in shouts, and the shouts with gladness. Exalt you just to the Lord, sing to him a new song. The plan on the Lord stands forever, the design of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his own inheritance. Exalt you just in the Lord, sing to him a new song. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield, for in him our hearts rejoice, and in his holy name we trust. Exalt you just in the Lord, sing to him a new song. Alleluia, alleluia. O Emmanuel, our King and giver of the law, come to save us, Lord our God. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel is from the Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, most blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. The Gospel of the Lord. And the second reading from the Office of Readings is on a commentary on Luke by St. Ambrose, a bishop. When the angel revealed his message to the Virgin Mary, he gave her a sign to win her trust. He told her of the motherhood of an old and barren woman to show that God was able to do all that he wills. When she hears this, Mary sets out for the hill country. She does not disbelieve God's word. She feels no uncertainty over the message or the doubt about the sign. She goes eager in purpose, dutiful in conscience, hastening for joy. Filled with God, where would she hasten to but to the heights? The Holy Spirit does not proceed by slow, laborious efforts. Quickly, too, blessings of her coming and the Lord's presence are made clear. As soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice the contrast and the choice of words. Elizabeth is first to hear Mary's voice, but John is the first to be aware of the grace. She hears with the ears of the body, but he leaps for joy at the meaning of the mystery. She is aware of Mary's presence, but he is aware of the Lord's. A woman aware of a woman's presence, the forerunner aware of the pledge of our salvation. The woman speaks of grace. They have received while the children are active in secret, unfolding the mystery of love with the help of their mothers, who prophesy by the spirit of their sons. The child leaps in the womb. The mother is filled with the Holy Spirit, but not before her son. Once the son has been filled with the Holy Spirit, he fills the mother with his same spirit. John leaps for joy. The spirit of Mary rejoices in her return. When John leaps for joy, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, but we know that through Mary's spirit rejoice, though Mary's spirit rejoices, she does not need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Her son, who is beyond our understanding, is active in his mother in a way beyond our understanding. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit after conceiving John, while Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit before conceiving the Lord. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you because you have believed. You also are blessed because you have heard and believed." The soul that believes both conceives and brings forth the word of God and acknowledges his works. Let Mary's soul be in each of you to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Let her spirit be in you so that you can rejoice in the Lord. Christ is has only one mother of the flesh, but we all bring forth Christ in faith. Every soul receives the word of God, if only it keeps it chaste, remaining pure and free from sin, its modesty undefiled. The soul that succeeds in this proclaims the greatness of the Lord, just as Mary's soul magnified the Lord and her spirit rejoiced in God her Savior. In another place we read, "Magnify the Lord with me." The Lord is magnified, not because of human voice can add anything to God, but because he is magnified within us. Christ is the image of God, and if the soul does what is right and holy, it magnifies the image of God, in whose image it was created, and magnifying the image of God, the soul has a share in its greatness and is exalted. The word of the Lord. As we look at these particular scriptures today and these readings, we kind of come across this whole idea of how salvation and the nativity are connected. It reveals to us how we participate in the grace of God. This is what makes the nativity event, Christmas, such an important high holy day in the life of every Christian. It's because it's the moment where we really see how our faith brings forth the results of that faith into our lives. And we can kind of look at this through how St. Ambrose was talking in the second reading from the Office of Readings today, because he basically says, let each soul that proclaims the greatness of the Lord rejoice in the same way, because you receive the word of God and are able to bring forth Christ in faith. I mean, this is something that's very important. The reason why we remember Christmas is because each one of us in this middle time of Jesus Christ coming can have the same faith of Mary. Mary declared yesterday in the gospel reading, "Be it done unto me according to your word." This is how we need to be. We need to have that same attitude. So when we go forth and we're in prayer, and we're looking for the things that we need to have, we need to pray for the will of God. This is how we pray and really get into this new birth experience that comes about by being children of God. The whole point of the gospel is to get you to this moment of cooperating with God and His grace and really seeing how things work out. Now, a lot of us, we go through bad situations and we don't see how God works in those moments. I mean, we just need to look at how the scriptures treat men like Joseph with the many-colored coat and how he went through pretty much a hell experience in his life. He was disowned by his brothers and thrown in a pit. Most of his brothers thought that he was gored to death and died when his older brother sold him into slavery. He went into slavery and ended up at Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lusted after him and tried to have him sleep with her. And when he didn't, she had him thrown in prison for trying to rape her. And in prison, he got forgotten about when he helped the cupbearer get back to his place with Pharaoh. And it took time for God to get everything into place so that he could raise him up. And sometimes these bad situations happen in our life because of that. And we need to have the attitude that Job talks about us having in Job chapter 2, I believe it's verse 10 or 11, where he says we should accept the evil that comes to us in our lives with the same attitude that we receive the good. Because we all know that all things work together for good for those that are called according to His purposes. It's not that all things are good, but all things work together. Jesus tells us in this world, you will have tribulation, you will have trying times, you will have bad things happen. It's not God's plan to undo everything and not have anything bad ever happen to you. But you can actually stand up, be a overcomer of those situations because you have a faith in God, a faith that takes you to the high places. Because just like Mary, after she had received this great blessing, she goes to the hill country. She goes to these places that's higher than where she's at in Nazareth to spend time with her cousin Elizabeth, because God calls you up to a higher way of life. And it's a way of life that's in a difficult terrain. You're not going to be going through an easy kind of way of getting places. In fact, if we kind of think about all the lessons that we're being told about the gospel and our Christianity, if we kind of look back over these last couple weeks, we'll see a couple days ago we talked about how the violent take the kingdom of heaven by force. And we're taking it by force because we're at war against sin. And we're taking back the territory that sin has basically run amok in. This is why the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, as Peter was told in Matthew 16. It's because we're marching against hell. It's not that hell's right up against the gates of heaven. It's the opposite. We're up against the gates of hell, and we're pushing that back. We're redeeming the lost in our own families by prayer, by presenting grace, and by really being parents of godliness and such. Because how we live truly shines a bright light of God into dark places and exposes wicked deeds and really allows for people to really come into the knowledge of God. And this is how we go forward into the world. It is something where Jesus will work amazingly in us if we allow Him to be born in us and not just have the Holy Spirit, you know, come upon us in some temporary fashion, but really truly be united with Him as a branch on the vine. In fact, as we really kind of look at these scriptures and really get into it, Mary was known because the moment the voice, her voice had reached the ears of Elizabeth, the infant leapt in the womb for joy. And this is why she says, "Blessed are you who believed what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." This is the great blessing that comes about from really truly having faith, that you truly believe what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. This is why we have such great promises for prayer, where if we pray and believe and don't doubt in our hearts, we will have what we pray for. And it also goes the extra step that we have to have the right attitude of our hearts for what we're praying for. We can't just pray with having a sinful motive in our minds or some sinful endeavor. And because we have to keep the Word of God chaste. It has to remain pure and free from sin. And in all modesty, in all humility, in all reality, realizing that we are representing Him, not that He has to represent us and answer us like a genie. Because this is what it is. Because the Lord our God is who is to be our inheritance. We're not supposed to be looking for a heaven that is just about being back with mom, dad, brother, sister, or some other loved one that we miss. Because the ultimate loved one is God Himself. Because if we have God, we have everything. If we don't, we have nothing. And this is what it's all about. Waiting on the Lord, seeing the designs of His heart through all generations, seeing how He works, because He is the lover. He's the lover that's talking to us in the Song of Solomon, or that's being referred to, because we're looking for Him coming on Christmas Day, but we also see Him coming at the end of time. But more importantly, we see Him coming into our lives this very day. And we see this because we see Him coming. He's coming across these mountains. He's leaping across these hills. He's coming to us from these high places, these difficult places, places that aren't the easiest to get to. I don't know how many of you have been mountain climbers, but if you've ever tried to climb up a mountain, that's a hard thing. And if you mess up, you could really die. I mean, it's reality check time there. And this is kind of what's being seen here, is in these places where you're really truly at the elements and really struggling, this is where God meets you. In those moments where you're really struggling in life, that's where God's going to meet you. I don't know what difficulties you've come about, but that's kind of the whole point of why we struggle. In fact, I read in a book not too long ago about a priest talking about somebody that came to him for confession when he was a young man. And he found that this person had this kind of bitterness about them when they were talking about it. And really struggling with where they were in life. And as he kind of prayed about it, meditated on it, and read books about it to try to understand what was going on, he realized something, that we all go through personal struggles the older we get with being able not to be bitter about the unfairness of life. I mean, I could look back over my history and I have that same trouble every day. In fact, there are things that have happened that I'm like, oh Lord, that wasn't fair, that wasn't right. But it's one of those things to where if we let that be what we're nourishing, we'll never understand the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and truly know what it's like to abide in the vine, because that is the lesson that is important. And it's important for us to realize it. I mean, I could look back and really recount about how so-and-so did this and such did that, this person, that person, and we can all do that. There's a lot of things in life that are very unfair. You get an education, and then you get out, and it takes you forever to find the right job. Then when you do find the right job, you have to do it for a lot less pay, and then you see people who are less qualified moving past you up the chain of command because they either know somebody or they're liked by somebody that you're not liked. Then you get really frustrated and upset that way. Or you go and you work a job and you find it's a dead-end job because it has this glass ceiling where management, for whatever reason, isn't going to promote you above where you're at because you're just not that person. And that can lead to a lot of anger and frustration. I've seen it in the current place where I'm working at, where they have a certain line count that you have to have as far as orders done, things put on an order, and so on and so forth. And there are people who work their butts off and get to where they need to be, but they do it in 7 hours instead of the 8 hours that they're working. And because they spend like 15 minutes here, 5 minutes there, or whatever, talking and chilling out, they're being singled out by management because they're not constantly moving. They're not constantly working, which is something that every business to some degree wants you to do, is just keep working. The whole idea of management is to keep you working, and it can lead to a certain bitterness. And it's in this bitterness that we really need to learn to let go and let God, because as we get into these older ages, we can let things really influence us instead of the love of God. And that's why we really have to come to these hard places and realize that it's in these hard places that God really does come to us. And He speaks to us. What He speaks to us is found in Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, because He's saying, come on, my beautiful one, come with me, follow me, abide with me. It's that going back to the branch on the vine thing, being one with Christ. Because, you know, you're supposed to be with him forever. This is the beatific vision. This is the reason why we're really going to heaven, because this is where we're supposed to be going. Because when we truly experience that, then we can give thanks to the Lord. We can basically exalt him and sing him a new song, because that's the one who really truly makes our hearts rejoice. He is the Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the King and giver of grace and law, and he himself can come save us. And that's what we're focused on in this Christmas season, this Advent season leading to Christmas, is this whole idea that we are moving forward to a moment where we will come to touch and know God in a very blessed and specific way, a way that truly makes us his children and truly allows us to give birth to him in a real, definite manner that really, truly transforms our lives and the lives of those around us. And this is what Christmas is all about, realizing that Christmas has a personal middle ground reality, a reality where you yourself today can truly know God. Now, in Protestantism, they have you say a sinner's prayer, where you basically acknowledge your sinfulness and you say, oh my Jesus, I'm sorry for having sinned against you. Forgive me for the sin. Wash me in your blood. Come into my heart and be this day my Lord and Savior. Now that's, wow, I apologize for that. Seems I keep having this cold. It just won't go away. Hopefully with your prayers, I can get over that. But we'll keep going on with this podcast as is. If I had better equipment, I could probably edit this stuff out and it would sound like I was in perfect health and you'd never know the difference. But that's another topic. That's relating to us needing to have $5 supporters to allow us to be able to get the better equipment. But that'll be down the road. And it's not something that I'm worried about at this point, because God's still blessing this ministry. But as I was saying, the whole point is to really, truly get a hold of God and really experience him in our lives today, to really understand that his grace is greater, that as a branch on the vine, we can truly give birth to Christ in our own lives and truly experience the Christmas blessing of being a child of God, an adopted son and daughter, because we can be grafted into that branch, the vine as a branch, and truly experience the blessedness of what Christmas is every day of our lives. And this is really what we need to be looking at here, that just as Mary had said, be it done unto me according to your word, and was able to go out and spread this blessedness of God to others, we too can give birth to Christ in a sense in our hearts by believing what he says will come to pass. Because it is God who speaks those things that be not as though they were. And if we can truly get a hold of the idea of what Abraham believed in, that what Mary truly believed when she believed that what God had spoken would be fulfilled, that's truly when we get into the true blessings of everything that Christianity has to be, and truly experience the foretaste of our salvation while we continue to live out his life, his love, and really be his people on earth as his will is done in heaven. And this is truly where the blessedness of Christmas can come into play. So hopefully this helps you get a little bit more of a deeper insight into this Advent and Christmas seasons that we're currently in. We're starting to really wind down into the Christmas mode. What I'm looking at on Christmas Eve, you'll have the morning message, which is the usual December 24th reading. But then in the evening, I'm going to release two extra podcasts, one for the Easter Vigil and one for the Mass at midnight. One will be at 6 o'clock, one will be at 9 o'clock. And then turning into the next day, there is a Mass at dawn readings that is a third reading for Christmas Day. That'll be released sometime about 6 o'clock in the morning is what I'm thinking. And then at noon, you'll get the final Christmas Mass of the Day readings to really get an understanding of the depth of what it is Christmas is in the life of every Christian and believer. And hopefully, it'll transform you and really give you an idea of how to bring Christmas into your life all year long, which that's kind of the lesson that Ebenezer Scrooge learned if we really look at the Christmas Carol and understand the message, that he stopped saying bah humbug, but he lived Christmas 365 days a year. And therefore, Tiny Tim could say, God bless us, everyone. Yeah, well, there you go. Something fun, something great, something to think about for the day. And hopefully this podcast has really blessed you in some way, and you would consider being one of our $5 patrons so that when I sneeze or cough, it doesn't go in your ear, and I can actually have the right equipment to be able to edit that. Right now I'm doing this out of my own little apartment and kind of using an old computer and microphone setup, so I don't have all the greatest stuff there, but, you know, it is what it is. It's good enough for this, it's just a conversation between me and you. So hopefully this all helps you and really gives you something to think about as we move forward into this Christmas time and really experience all that God has for you today. And outside of that, I hope you keep listening and downloading our podcast and truly have a blessed day.